Shus Marino Arav Shlita, Mechaim Aruchim to Michael Israel for the yacht site, the forthcoming yacht sites of his parents, Yitzhak Ben Reb Shloima and Frumo Bas Yosef
Eliezer.
Bas Reb Eliezer. Shleni Hav Simchas. Mazel Tov also to David Levy on the forthcoming marriage of his son next week, Jonathan, to Aviva Brownold. So, you're sitting in my seat or on my seat? Somebody asked me which one is correct. Well, I didn't bring my book on English prepositions with me, but the first thing I think about when I imagine that phrase was my very first job, and on my very first day when I became a local government officer, and I was warned, keep away from the chief executive as much as you can. Well, I said, why? Because he thinks he's God. Oh, really? They said, yes. These are the Gentiles speaking. They said, because when he goes up to heaven and he's asked by God, what did you do in your life? He's going to reply, you're sitting in my seat. Now, there is a Gemara in a few places which says, Loma li kros vorehi. What do I need a pasuk for? This is common sense. Sometimes the Gemara says, if you've got human logic, you don't really need a pasuk to justify what you're doing. Surely, this is common sense, that in efforts to be nice to other people, you do not evict somebody from your seat. Now, for me, that might be common sense. For you, that will be common sense. But strangely, there are some people who don't see it as common sense. And therefore, we have to resort to quotes from Gemara, Bavli, Rishalmi, Rishonim, Poskim, to decide what is actually the situation. But there is one shul, which I won't mention the name of, in northwest London, which is a bit short of seats. And every time I've been invited to a simcha there, I've tried to be early in order that I get a seat. And invariably, half an hour after the start of davening, somebody comes in and comes up to me and says, you're sitting in my seat. He doesn't say good Shabbos. He doesn't say hello, how are you? He doesn't say, can I offer you a sit or can I suggest you another place? He just says to me, you're sitting in my seat. And then, of course, you've got no other seats to go to because the shul is already filled up because he came late. So once it happened to me, this fellow said this to me, and I thought, well, I'll give a reply. Oh, I shouldn't speak in Pesukei de Zimra, but I said to him, tell me, do you treat all your guests like this? And the answer which I invariably got was, Mokum Kavua, Mokum Kavua, which means my fixed place. So,
there's a famous story in somebody once complained to Rabbi Bernstein in Kinloss, somebody was sitting in his Mokum Kavura.
That might sound funny, Mokum Kavura, but quite sadly, I think there is more truth in what you've just said than one might realise. Because I once saw somebody being physically ejected from their seat. Forcefully and physically ejected from their seat without a word being said to the person. And quite sadly, that person then became extremely ill and suffered a premature death. Now, I'm not trying to do any scaremongering, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks very severely on those people who have disregard for others. There's another shul which I sometimes have been going to in the past. They don't have many seats, and I went in on one Shabbos morning, and the Gabba said to me, you can't sit there. He didn't say, oh, can I suggest you another place? Maybe you'd like to make way for so-and-so. You can't sit there. Is that Yiddishkeit? Is that Judaism? Are those the values which we instill into our children? Now, come on. This can't be. So, what is going on here? And I met somebody just at the end of last week called Menachem Samuels, and he told me when he was in a certain yeshiva, no names mentioned, and they had a shiur, everybody had their own seat for the shiur. And if he sat in somebody else's place, and that person came half an hour late into the shiur, he got evicted. The guy came in the shiur and said, this is my seat. I mean, for goodness sake, is he going to lose out by sitting somewhere else for his shiur? Has he got to evict someone? Is this the way of Judaism? And he told me that his grandfather came back from the British Army fight in El Alamein in Egypt in 1942, and he arrived back in this country just before Rosh Hashanah, and he couldn't wait to get to a shul to daven on Rosh Hashanah, and he came into this shul and somebody came up to him and said, "You're sitting in my seat." What a welcome. So a man who was in the British Army uniform, just there to fight for king and country, and this is the appreciation that he has shown. And I know somebody very well who got out of Germany on the Kinder transport and who came to a short. His parents were murdered in Auschwitz. He had no brothers or sisters. He had no family left. They were all killed by the Nazis. Yirach Shemom Zichronom. And he came into a shul where there was a ticket system where you had to pre-book, and he was turfed out because he didn't have a seat. And this person, who I know personally, left the shul, walked out and would not turn round, didn't look back, and he went to work somewhere amongst some Gentiles. He married out years later. His conscience pricked him a bit. His children brought home things about Yiddishkeit, which developed into a full-blown from family again. And the children grew up and married Kedoshuch Din and from. But why did he have to go through all this suffering? His wife went through a gerus. His children went through a gerus. All because of this. With a bit of forethought, do we realize what our actions are doing? So what is this thing about Mokum Kavod, which seems to be so important in the eyes of many? And does Yiddishkeit really encourage such rudeness? Well, you've probably already realized from my introduction what my conclusion is, but let's see what Chazal say. Let's see what the sources are to justify those who claim they're Mokum Kavod. And the first source is really Gemara in Brachos Daf Vav Amud Beis, which talks about Avram Avinu. Vayashkem Avram Baboker Lamokem Hashem Hashem Espanei Hashem. He got up very early, and Omad means prayer. When you stand, that's called praying. Omar Rab Chelba, Omar Rab Huno, Kolakavel Mokem Mitzviloso. Anyone who fixes a place for his davening, Elokei Avram Bezra. Then Avram Avinu, or the Elokei Avram, the God of Avram Avinu, will help him. And when such a person dies, we say, oh, what a humble person, what a righteous, kind person, that person is a direct pupil of Avram Avinu. So how do we know all this? Because when it talks about Amido, it means to fill, as it says from Tehillim, Vayamo Pinchas Vaypalel Milamech Avram Avinu Kavam Makom Nitzfiloso. So that is a source, very good source, that a person who fixes his place, the God of Abraham. Why does it say Abraham? Well, we'll mention that later. But the praise a person is given that he's humble. I mean, what's so humble about a person just having a fixed place? And furthermore, it says in the Gemara Daf Zayin, Om Rabbi Yochum, Om Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kol HaKavel Mokhan Mitzfilosa, Ovov Noflim Tachtov. A person who fixes a place for his davening, his enemies will fall. The way the Gemara actually speaks is advice. It's not saying you have to have a Mokum Kavua. It says anybody who has a Mokum Kavua, these are the wonderful things that will occur. So the Rivash in Tov Kuf Yud Gimel actually asks the question about this style. When you have such a style, is the Gemara actually saying you have to do it, or is it just advisory? You get a similar kind of expression with wearing the tefillin for the Shema, Kriyat Shema and Mitzvah, saying Ashrei three times a day. So the Rivash says, the Gemara is really saying, yes, it is a rule. You should do that. But there seems to be a bit of machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi says, Tzorich Odom Leispalel. There in Dalad, it says, it is necessary for a person to daven, b'mokum shu miyuchad letfilo, in a place which is specified for his davening, u'ma atam, because it says in the Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, b'chol hamokom, asher azkir et shemi, where I mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And therefore, Omer Abtanchum, Reb Chanina, Sorichotam, Liachid, Lo Mokum, the Beis HaKnesses, Lehispalel. A person should fix his place in the Beis HaKnesses. Because there is, in fact, a Rabbeinu Yonah on the roof in Brochus, who says, when we talk about having a fixed place, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, we're not talking about Shul. Because Shul is already a fixed place. What we're really talking about is when you're at home. If for any reason you are unable to get to shul and you daven at home, then in your house you should have a fixed place set aside for when you daven. And the Shevet HaLevi writes also for when you have, where you have your sforim and your learning, you should have a fixed place in your house, because it gives it more importance. And that when you daven in your home, you don't want to be disturbed by members of your family when you're davening. Shelo yubalbalu. Therefore, you have a fixed place. However, the Rosh and commentaries disagree with Rabbeinu Yonah. They say it means specifically in shul. And although there are some who say in shul means it doesn't matter where in the shul, as long as you have a shul, nevertheless, there are others who will say, no, you should have it bebeis haknesses, in the shul, that you're not running from one corner to another corner. Some might say only applies to the Shemone Esra, some will say the whole of davening. And the Rambam actually says this. In Hilchos Tefillah, he lists 8 requirements in Perek Hay of preludes to your davening, of the what seems to be requirements, although he does say that they are not essential if you're not able to accomplish them. And one of the ones he says in Halacha Vav is, V'koveya mokom l'tfiloso tovid, and a person should fix a place for his davening always. Which seems to imply that this fellow who's been evicting me and others, maybe he was right. I don't know about physically, but maybe he was right. And what are the reasons? What are the reasons for having a mokum kavua? And there are a number of different explanations. The Meiri says that when you have your regular place, you have better kavona. You have better concentration. There's less distraction because you're used to your surroundings. But the Kav HaChaim says that if it's noisy, then of course you should move to somewhere where it's not noisy. The Ein Yaakov says that when you govern in a fixed place permanently, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of anova. Unlike Bilam, who governed in different places. And this is very interesting, because the idea which comes out from this is that there are people who are rebellious, who want to change their place of davening because they're not satisfied with one shul, and therefore they go to another shul. So you know about the joke about the desert island, which has 2 shuls, so that there's one which he will go to and one he won't go to, or one he will stop going to and then stop going to. That people who break away from a shul are symbolic of not possessing sufficient humility, of not having anova. It's a sign of gaiva. This is not good enough for me, that's not good enough for me, and then they want to go somewhere else. So that is the idea of the Ein Yaakov, and that's also the idea of the Tzlach, who says about anova, and it shows that you need a place, he says, to enhance your tefillah, that you are reliant on a mokom, on a place, because when you daven in a specific regular place, you are investing that place with sanctity. It's possessing a certain holiness for you as an individual, and then it symbolizes a better acceptance of your tefillahs. And the Sfasem says something very interesting. He says the previous Gemara we spoke about in Brachos talks about tefillah b'tzibur, davening with a community. So he says when you daven continuously in the same place, all your previous davenings in that place join up together with the davening you're doing now, forcing better your davening towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it has an even greater effect, because all those tefillahs in that place become combined. So there you've got very good reasons for Mokum Kavua. So we've got, as we said, different opinions amongst the Shonim, but what does the Shulchan Aruch do? Shulchan Aruch brings down the various opinions and says in Simat Tzadi Tzif, your test, Yikva Odom Mokum Mitzviloso. A person should fix a place for his davening. Shalei Shanehu. A person should not change his place. Im Lo Letzurich. If there is no necessity to change. That means, with that phrase, Im Lo Letzurich means, well, you should have a fixed place. But sometimes in times of necessity, you will not be able to use your place. So those 3 words are very important. And we're going to come back to them. The Ein Dai B'Mash Yikvelo Beit Lehispalel Elo Gam B'Beit HaKnesesh Kavua B'Tzorech Shiyelo Mokom Kavua. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's not enough just to say I daven regularly in the North Hendon Synagogue. It's that you should have a place in the North Hendon Synagogue regularly in order to fulfill this idea of Mokom Kavua. And the Mogen Avraham brings down the idea of Gamba Beso, also in your place, in order that you're not disturbed by others, and that is the principle. And the Mogen Avraham says something very interesting. He says in Sif Kotan Lama Dalud there, he says, Venirali the Tok Dalad Amas Choshuv Mokam Echod. When you're within Dalad Amas of your fixed place, 4 cubits, which is about 2 meters, so that's a radius, so you've got 2 meters one way and 2 meters the other way, so it's a diameter of 4 meters, that if you are unable to sit in your place, then if you are within Dalad Amas of that place, it's as if you are in the place, because Dalad Amas is all called one place. And so says the Mishnah Berurah, brings this down in Sifkot Nud Tes. So there you have it already, a symbol and an idea where we've got a clue as to what the answer is to our real question halachically, apart from common sense, which we started with.
Does the Shulchan Aruch say anything about your fixed place is the place you pay for, or stam that you happen to daven there every time you walk into that shul?
Not the Shulchan Aruch, but there are others. Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein writes about this, that when a person pays for a place, then that is certainly his place. But even then, does that justify you evicting somebody else just because you paid for it? So yes, Mokum Kavon means the place you normally daven in. It doesn't necessarily mean that you paid for it, but there are some poskim, and this is in particular so with the idea of Yerusha, because there are a number of tshuvas, the Radvaz writes one, about does a person have the rights of inheritance to a place which his father had. If his father was learned and elderly and sat in the front with all the other learned people, and then his son comes along who's not so learned and he's not dressed appropriately, is he entitled to that place which his father had? That's the Radvaz in Chelik Beis Siman Tov Resh Kaf Zayin, that the son is entitled to inherit his father's place even though the son is not on the same stature as his father. So yes, that's really talking about when the place was paid for.
Can I just ask another question? Wouldn't the idea of putting somebody to shame have an effect on this? In other words, if
that's the essence of today's talk. I'm coming to that. You've hit the nail on the head. Putting someone to shame is an issur d'oraisa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what me advisory by the Shulchan Aruch or the Gemara, and if not advisory, a necessity, but you can see some exclusion clauses already coming out from the woodwork. Okay. You can see Imlo Lutzurach, right? Imlo Lutzurach. What does it mean, Imlo Lutzurach? And we'll be able to quote sources on this. So those diehards who insist on their Mokum Kavua, who don't interpret Imlo Lutzurach in a particular way, and the Rambam himself says also, the Rambam later says, Im Hoyo Dochuk Venenas. If a person is, Dochuk means through extraneous reasons, and he's unable to get his place, he's Nenas, he's forced, he can't help it. Okay, so leave it. Don't bother. And that is from where we get the others who will say, apply these principles in a common sense manner. What does Im Lola Tzurich mean? So, you really hit the nail on the head. But there is an importance of Mokum Kavua. The Chasam Sofer writes in his Tshuvas about this, when a shul is rebuilt, are people entitled to the same sorts of position? Well, maybe there was previously a bay window, now there's no bay window. But in general, where possible, he says, one should keep up one's Mokum Kavua, because it's not just that building in which you are, but the ground on which you are standing. So it's a very interesting Tshuva in Orach Chaim Simen Chof Tes. The Piskei Teshuvah talks about when an Ovel changes his seat. So a person who's in mourning, he steps back a bit from the Aron HaKodesh, but he might still try to be within Dalad Amas of his former seat, so that it is like Mokum Kavua. And he writes about this in Hilchos Avelos Shin Sadi Gimel Yud Zayin. Now you can ask, what does Mokum Kavua really mean? Because the Gemara Bava Basra and Daf Gimel on the base talks about the cities of Merim and Mazutra, where they had one shul for the summer and one shul for the winter. So that is still called Mokum Kavua. So if at certain times you daven in one place and certain times in another place, that's still called Mokum Kavua. The Prima Godim actually says you don't have to be in the same shul every day or for every tefillah of the day. So you might daven every day Shachris in one shul and Mincha in another shul, and your Mokum Kavua will be in both shuls. So you might have one for Monday, one for Tuesday, and so on.
Or you have a weekday shul and a Shabbos shul.
Yeah, or a weekday shul and a Shabbos shul.
Yeah, the more
Yeah. So your Mokum Kavua during the week is one place, and your Mokum Kavua for Shabbos is another place. That's perfectly in order, says the Prima Godim. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes about this in his Halichas Shlomo Hey. He says you can have one place for Shachris and another shul for Mincha. That's still called Mokum Kavua in its context. The Makar Chaim says the idea of Mokum Kavua applies to women as well, just like it applies to men. He says in Kuf Beis Gimel, we learn this from Chana, who had a Mokum Kavua at Shiloh. What if you have a Rov Om, a huge minion, like a football stadium with a Siyam HaShas, and they're going to daven, and you have a choice between davening there or davening in your local shul, in your Mokum Kavua, which one is better? So there's the riff on the Ein Yaakov, it's not the same riff who's in the Gemara. He writes there that Rov Om does not trump Mokum Kavua. You're better off davening in your usual place than davening in the Siyam HaShas football stadium. Let's now come to Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein of Beis Din of Bnei Barak, and he writes a sefer called Hashukei Chemed, and there on Bebrachos Daf Zayin he asks this very question about what if you come to your place in shul and there is somebody, a stranger, sitting in it, what do you do? He asks, does one ask politely to move? He obviously accepts that you mustn't ask rudely. He obviously accepts that you're not going to physically remove the person, like I once witnessed. But he asks, is it all right to ask politely, excuse me, good Shabbos, have you got a tzedda? Have you got a chumash? Can I bring you a talis? Listen, I hope you don't mind, but do you think you could move? He asks, is that the preference? Or do we say no, leave the person there, because there's a mitzvah saseh v'avdem esager, you shall love the stranger. And although there might be different interpretations of what a stranger is, in this place we're talking about someone who's a guest, do you remove them? After all, Mokum Kavua, we've given you all the reasons and the justifications for the importance of Mokum Kavua. And he quotes from the Chinuch on v'avdem esager, which just says, l'rachem al adam, to have mercy and kindness to others. So which is better? And in his teshuva he says, Yashir es mekomo l'oreach. He must leave his place alone for the guest. V'hu yispalel shalo b'mokum kavua. And he should daven in another place which is not his mokum kavua. And that is a clear cut pasuk. And he mentions this Rambam, v'mudochuk v'nenas ein ma'akvin. If for any reason you are unable to have your place, it doesn't matter. It's not a fixed thing as such that you have to do it. But Achaini says, Imamokum Tofus, if the place is taken, Aludea Reach, by some guest, Haris Ekeulu Dochuk Venenas. And he also expresses the phrase from the Shulchan Aruch, which we mentioned earlier, Im Lo Latzurach. He says, that is the word which covers such an eventuality. V'kan Hu Latzurach, this is a typical example of what is called a tzurach, Kidei Leovis Asager, in order to love the stranger, V'yesh Lo Niach. And he says, and you will get a guarantee that if you allow your guest to stay in your place, that promise of the Gemara that your enemies will fall will still apply when you daven in another place, because you've shown that kindness to somebody else. So you don't have to worry. Yes. Yeah, usually there's a space around, and if there's no space, there's a gangway, there's a pew that you'll still be able to daven dala dava. So use your common sense, and you can daven, and you're still davening in your Mokum Kavua. But if for any reason it's crowded and there might be a bar mitzvah or an alfruf and there is no space whatsoever, then go outside in the corridor, but don't kick people out, especially when there's a simcha. You'll always get guests coming. Is that the way to behave, to treat them, to kick them out of your seat? Alright, we started with the subject of common sense, but for some people they're so deranged that common sense doesn't mean much to them because they don't have the social intelligence. So that's why we have to quote the poskim. Let's now quote. Yes.
Just if we kind of show, although we are not in the right place, but we elect someone else, then maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept our tefillah, even though we are completely in the wrong place, he'll also accept us.
It's interesting you say that, because if you look at the Chofetz Chaim in Sefer Avas Chesed, and he's not there talking specifically about fixed places, but he says, Kol habakoshos she'odum mispalel l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, all our davening which we do to Hashem, that he should be nice to us, he should be kind with us. If a person himself doesn't go b'darkei HaChesed, kosher mot she'tiskabel tefilaso. God is not likely to accept your prayers. If you are not showing chesed to others, why can you daven for chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or with Rakesh Odom Ispalel al Parnosa. And there he talks about if you ask daven for Parnosa, which is dependent purely on Hashem's chesed. As it says, Mechal Kachayim Bechesed, Mechayim Eitim Bachamim Rabim. We are asking with chesed, Yisponin Odom, a person should ponder over this. Keitzad Yuchol Nisa Ponim El Hashem. How can he even face HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Sim Shalom Tov Rochol, Chayim Vachesed Verachamim? Oleinu, if he himself ain't a rotzel l'rachem, if he himself doesn't want to show mercy on others, v'la'asos chesed l'chaveirov, to show chesed to others, what's the message that comes on this? If you kick somebody out of your seat, from this Chofetz Chaim, it's very clear, your prayers will not be answered. Your keenness to daven so diligently will not be of any use, because you've not shown chesed. And Mesilas Yesharim writes in your test, someone who won't do chesed, then Hashem will judge him with din. If you don't practice chesed with others, then Hashem says to you, okay, you don't want to practice chesed, then I don't practice chesed with you. I will show you midas hadin. And who can stand up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas hadin? Nobody. Tehillim Kuf Mem Gimel, what did David HaMelech say, Beis? Al tavo b'mishpot. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't show midas hadin. Kilo yitzdak lefanecha kol chai. Nobody can withstand it if you just show midas hadin. So you're putting your lives in danger when you evict somebody from their seat. Listen to the words of Ma'am Loes. He speaks much more strongly than Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. In Parshas Mishpotim, he writes in Chaf Beis Hey. In the version I've got, it's page Tov Shin Dalad Mem. Elu sheyoshim b'mkames hakavuim lahem b'veis hakneses. Those people who have a fixed place in shul, and they come along and they find somebody sitting in their seat. Soik halov, he says, I have noticed that they shout at them. Malom ispayesh, isn't this putting someone to shame? As Michael rightly asked. And you get somebody hitting somebody else, and you might think, no, this wouldn't happen. I've seen a fist fight going on in shul on a Yom Kippur. It wasn't this shul, don't worry, but it was in an Adas shul, and Rav Dr. Schoenfeld was present and he put a stop to it. But I've seen it. Kishfisha Osima Chairim Shaheim Chisori Das. These people have no knowledge. They are ignoramuses. Suichim Hemra Das. They have to know. Sha'afati Shemutav Kolechon Yakis Bakomo. Even though it's a wonderful thing that somebody has a place, which is fixed, Natomid, permanent place. Very nice. Quotes of Romovinu, as we just said before. Mikol Mokomim Ira Shabo Motzo Ishache. But if you find somebody else, Yoshib Bakomo. Somebody sitting in your place, you don't start machlokes. Ein reshus l'odom l'bayashus chaveiro. A person has no permission to embarrass somebody else, or b'frat the Beis HaKnesses, especially in a shul which is called a Beis HaMikdosh, a mini mikdosh. So he says, shekolam avazes chaveiro lifnei tamid chocham. And when you're in shul, you're standing in front of the Rav, and you're embarrassing somebody in front of the Rav, a person who does such a thing is called an abikoros, he says. Because it's not only an insult to the person sitting in your place, it's an insult to the Rav of the Shul. A person who insults someone in the Shul, all the more so he's called a heretic. He is insulting not only that person, but the whole Shul. And his punishment is very great. He's much more emphatic. And there's an interesting idea brought by Rav Shiel Grunstein. He says, why does the Gemara talk about Avraham Avinu in this context? Elokei Avraham Be'ozro. He says it's quite simple. Because Avraham Avinu was the one who told the Shechina to wait while he ran to do chesed. G'dolach nosos orchim mikabolos panei Shechina. To have guests is greater than receiving Hashem's presence. So what did Avraham Avinu do when he saw these Arabs or apparent Arabs walking there in the hot sun? Hashem was visiting him. He was doing Birkat Hakohanim. He said to Hashem, sorry, I've got to go now. You will have to wait. Hashem had to wait in order that Avraham Avinu could do chesed. He said, what an amazing lesson this is on the standards of Mokam Kavua. Why does the Gemara talk about Avraham Avinu? Because caring for guests, caring for the Oreach, is more important than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and is much more important than your place which you paid so much money for. Would Avraham Avinu chase the guest out of his seat? We all know the answer to that question.
Can I ask a practical question which Sandra's addressed?
Yes.
You're sitting in your seat, your neighbour comes a bit late, and somebody's going to sit in his seat, but there's plenty of seats in front behind. Is it all right to say to him, Mr. So-and-so normally sits there, would you mind sitting there, or should you...
Well, I think a lot of common sense and discretion is necessary in such places. You do get some shuls where the gubba does the arrangements. When there's a simcha, lots of guests come. So the governor says to somebody, look, so-and-so's not here today, I think you should sit over there. And people feel welcome by that. That's fine. You know, you offer them a siva, you offer them a talus, make sure they got a chumash, and say, now, let me give you somewhere to sit. And then the person feels welcome. That's not embarrassing them, that's great. So common sense is the name of the game. And if the governor can do this, and if you feel a bit cheesed off because this person is sitting in your place day after day after day, and you've been very tolerant and sitting somewhere else, and you feel like, oh well, he's now making it his Mokum Kavua, then how would you deal with it? So maybe a tactful chat with a gubba, and the gubba, you say, look, you know, I don't want to unseat him myself, I don't want to be rude, but maybe we can come to some arrangement. Have you got another seat for this guy? And let the gubba sort it out for you. And then the person won't feel embarrassed, he won't feel insulted, he won't feel rejected. Right? But that's surely the way of doing it.
What about, not mention it, but if let's say you've got a talus in there, and somebody's sat there.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want him to move necessarily, but you want to get to your talus. But going to the box,
right,
the person...
Yeah. Now, on this subject, I've had twice a discussion with our learned friend, Reb Gershon Heppner. And Reb Gershon says, you shouldn't even go up to your seat and say, excuse me, can I just get my talus out of my seat? Because that will already make the fellow feel embarrassed that he's in your place. He says, oh, no, I'll go somewhere else. And then he'll end up standing in the gangway. So that's not the way to treat a guest. So Gershon says, go and get your talus from the shul box and use another talus.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Keep away from the fellow. Problem is, what do you do during the week if your tefillin are in the box? Are you going to find another tefillin? It is more difficult. I think probably when it comes to tefillin, you can go up to the cellar and say, Shalom Aleichem, hi, listen, please stay where you are. It just so happens that my tefillin are in here, let me just get them. But please, I think, you know, common sense is the name of the game. But you need your tefillin. Are you going to have to wait for the next minion in order to wait for the fellow to go? I think it's justified. But the thrust of it is, you know, we've got this mission in Pekah Avos. Shali, shali, v'shaloch, shaloch. A person who says what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. The yesh over there is midas Sodom. This is the way Sodom behaves. This is my place. Well, so what if it's your place? You should share it with others. So it's very clear from Perek Hay, Mishnah Yud Gimel, that you are committing midas Sodom by evicting somebody from your seat. There's a story of the Chofetz Chaim, who once admonished a man who was shouting at his wife because she forgot to cover the chalas on the Friday night table. So he shouted at her.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chofetz Chaim, do you know why we cover the chalas?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we cover the chalas is that they're not put to shame because we're making the bracha first on the wine rather than the chalas. We don't want to embarrass the chalas. You are not wanting to embarrass the chalas, but you're embarrassing your own wife in front of others. Is that the right way? Sorry, you wanted to say something.
I
suppose you could go up to a gubba and say, where do you think I should sit? But sometimes it's not always practical, you might not be around and you don't know what to do. I don't think, certainly an oreach should also have respect for the host, that's for sure. But I think the main onus is halachically on the host to make sure that the oreach is welcome, and that in turn means that a person hasn't really got the duty, you know, maybe davening has started and the gubba can't be talked to. I don't think the Oreach has a duty to ask the Gabba where he should sit. Although it might be a polite way of doing things, and it could solve problems afterwards. Yes. And there may be other practical solutions. Maybe the shul should make a takona that there should be no makom kavua police. Maybe you should just come early for your own seat, and that way you'll have your own seat. Maybe the gabba should have a rule about welcoming guests and making sure they got somewhere. But to make a guest feel welcome, do you think it's right that you should evict somebody, that they stand in the gangway? And this month we're going to celebrate Purim. What is the connection of this with Purim? And although we don't like Haman, and we are very glad that Haman and his 10 sons were hanged on the gallows for trying to attempt a genocide of the Jewish people, there is something we can learn from Haman. He came to Ahasuerus and he said, Yesh am mefuzar umefarod. There is a split and scattered people. And what Chazal interpreted this to mean as the Jewish people were arguing with each other. They're having machlokas with each other. And that's why we bring shlach, one of the reasons why we give shlach monos, in order to enhance friendships, that we are kishechod belevechod. We are one people, that we don't quarrel with each other, that we don't argue with each other. That is one of the messages of Purim. And unfortunately nowadays, some people feel as though they adopt the European Court of Human Rights, and they say they got their own rights, and we have the rights of this and the rights of that. But life is really about duties. Our message in life should be, what does God want from me? And how can I make this world a better place? The message is very clear. The message is clear from Shulchan Aruch, from the Poskim. Do what is right. Thank you very much.
When we started Hashkoma, there were people who normally didn't come to Hashkoma, but came to Hashkoma when they had a film class.
Yes.
And they got the second day, they showed people around which would be free.
Yeah.
Which takes care of all problems.
Common sense prevails. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Eli. That was a magnificent.